For Gamecast 64, episode 126, boys. We're here. The event has ended, that event being E3 2019. And on this week's episode, we got everything from E3 2019 and finally the unveiling of the project that we've been working on for several months. Are you guys excited?
Yeah, I've been waiting to show off my volcano for a really long time.
You have been working hard on it. Science Fair 2019. Tyler, are you excited?
Complete with paint from Tyler.
DJ, bring us in episode 126.
Nice, colorful intro. DJ.
It's like a refreshing sip of some lemonade on a warm summer day. It's the Super Gamecast 64 show. It's a comedy show. It's also a video game show where if you don't laugh, you're a sociopath. I'm your host, Matt. With me, as always, we got...
It's me, your dad's brother, Uncle Kevin.
Breathy Kev, we're going to call him this episode.
Breathy.
He's Breathy Kev. Who's this other breathy guy you got over here?
Hi. I'm Tyler.
That's Tyler. Guys... If you're not familiar with the show, I understand, only a few episodes into season 5. This is a comedy show, it's also a video game show. We talk about topical things in the video game industry, including news, reviews, opinions. We sometimes diverge into things like movies and television and comics and anime. Who knows what you'll get on every episode of Super Gamecast 64. But this one's a special one, because the E3 Entertainment Expo 2019 was just held in Los Angeles over the last week, or when you're listening to this, it was in June of 2019. And, oh boy, all of the developers, they came out, and they had some things to say. Did they not, boys? They said...
I mean...
There was video games.
There was tell you what, guys. They had games.
And boy, were there a lot of games. How many games do you think there were entirely?
There were at least 6 games showed at E3.
6 games.
That's twice as many as I thought. One for every E.
Okay, before we get into this huge, huge, huge news about us, the brand Super Gamecast, I wanted to wrap around, like I said last time, episode 124, we are prophets, so to speak, of this E3. And now that the event has come to pass, I would like to revisit some of our predictions as we come across them throughout the show. But up front, one of our first predictions was how long would it take before someone mentioned a Battle Royale game? And I'm going to be brutally honest with you guys. I watched 30 minutes of EA's press conference, and that was the Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order stuff. We'll talk about that in a second. Beyond that, I think it took until Bethesda, which was a full, I think... 30 hours until they announced a Battle Royale. I think everyone was over except for Tyler.
Victory Royale.
Tyler said something. Me and Kevin definitely lost.
I gotta hand it to him. That's some restraint.
Yeah, unless there's like, you know, Battle Royale FIFA or Battle Royale Madden.
But who screwed the pooch?
It was Bethesda. Us.
Unsurprisingly.
Yes. Well, we'll talk about Bethesda. But first, guys, we've been teasing something for the past, I don't know how many months. A new way to interact with Super Gamecast 64. A new way to support us. To find out our deep thoughts about the various things you don't hear on the show. And, Kevin.
You guys ever see The Truman Show?
Yeah, that's the one with Jim Carrey.
It's that.
Good afternoon, good evening, and tomorrow.
I hear the sequel, Sonic the Hedgehog, is going to be next year.
The camera is always on me. It's my life.
It's our life.
Now or never.
That's the way you interact with Super Game. You watch my life. But you can only access it through VR. So I'm wearing goggles at all times on my face that broadcast. You don't get to control my hands either. I mean, maybe we'll implement something.
I didn't want
to. How do you see?
That's a good point. Do you see who watches The Watchmen?
I trust my viewers to guide me. It's kind of like that beta fish.
I didn't want to announce the game that we were working on, which is like Kevin was saying, you know, it's VR, but you live through Kevin's life, and it's essentially Super Gamecast 64 Live. It's called KR. It's actually a sequel to R, which was his original project. We weren't ready to announce any of this. I don't know why we're going off script. Super Game Site 64. Hold on to your jimmies. Don't let them get too rustled. Guys, that joke, even I think that's like 2 years old. Rustling your jimmies, Forget I said it. Super Game Site 64. Yes, you heard that right. We now have a website, and you can read so many things written by me, Kevin, and soon to maybe Tyler? Maybe Tyler.
I don't know, maybe.
He's not, Tyler's not the writer here. He's the funny, grumpy cast man. Me and Kevin are the ones who are like,
funny, grumpy cast guy.
We do the art, and we write on the words. So you can read things like coverage on E3 2019. We have a bunch of reviews up, like Sekiro. I did a review of Sekiro. Kevin got to review his favorite game of all time, and I guess you could probably wonder what score he gave that. Stardew Valley. Generally speaking,
if I could have given it 11, I would have.
Supergamesite64.com is where you're going to want to go. I probably should have said that 30 seconds ago. Once again, that's Supergamesite, S-I-T-E, 64.com. It is our brand new website. Like I said, there's tons of ways to support us. If you check out any of the articles, there are various links to some Amazon products we think you'll find interesting. So if you ever find yourself in need of a gift card or you want to pre-order a brand new game, why don't you check out Super Game Site 64, troll through the articles a little bit, and you probably will see that. We're working on a few ways to get some of the more popular items that have been viewed up there, but it's all a work in progress, and so we want to hear back from you guys.
The fun part about it is you can make a profile akin to a any social media site, and your comment will come with a little picture of you or something like that.
That's I was just getting around to that. Perfect segue. If you see something in the articles you want to comment on, you want to, you know, spout out whatever, and it's not in the Facebook or the Instagram or the Twitter or any of the other social channels we have for you, like Kevin said, you can log in to Supergamesite64 using Facebook or your Twitter or your Google or, you know, just your regular email. Make a little profile, and there will be more things to come with that soon in time.
Let's say you're bashful.
Let's say you're shy. Let's say you lurk.
Let's say you're bashful.
That's Tyler. Me.
You don't want to make an account. You don't want people to see your head.
Nope. You don't want people to see your face on the internet. I even hide behind, if you check out our staff page, I hide behind a caricature. It's not even a real picture of me. Am I a real person?
I hide behind most of the cameras.
Matt is just an assortment of colors that at some point takes form and
there's a dog
talking.
In that picture.
There is a dog.
Have you ever seen Transcendence?
Until yesterday.
With Johnny Depp? It's the same idea, except it's not as bad of a movie.
Well, let's say you're a shrinking
it's
violet.
It's also just a picture.
Let's say you're a what?
A shrinking violet. Let's say you're bashful.
You're
a shy little person.
You're a shy guy.
Or a big person. Whatever.
Yeah.
One of my favorite features about the website so far, and this is from an outside perspective, because this is before I even wrote anything for it, there's a nice little up and downvote button at the bottom of every article.
You can upvote.
You can interact with it regardless of whether or not you have an account, so that's kind of cool.
So you can give off your opinion without voicing it, one could say.
Right.
There's lots of ways. We highly recommend you check out the supergamesite64.com/donate page. You could view it at the top bar. That way, you can actually fiscally support us. There's been this talk of whether we do a Patreon or a Ko-fi or, you know, all these different kinds of sites, and I thought, why not just wrap it up into our website? So if you like to, you can donate to us in any denomination you see fit via PayPal, or like I said, if you don't want to do that, you can check out the ads. There's other ways to support us coming, and we'll do various donation drives throughout the years, so if you can't do it now,
throw a couple bucks our way so Matt can eat.
Yeah, really, you guys are paying my salary. No, you're not. Everything that you...
Actually, it's a salad-ry. Okay.
Yeah, we see nothing. He just sees all salad.
I love my salads. Chicken Caesar. Everything that is donated to the website will go towards maintaining the website, getting faster servers, getting better production quality stuff for the podcast. It's not just going into my pocket and then going into, let's say, a Twix bar or something. Although, maybe it is.
I would not be... I think that is part of the maintenance structure.
Personally. I gotta have a Snickers, right?
Gotta have my Twix.
Is that the one? Is it Snickers where they have the ads? It's like, if you don't eat it, you're an asshole. So if you don't eat our chocolate, you're basically a doucher.
Yeah, that's the implied message that's in the Snickers commercials.
By the by, this is an explicit show. That means if you have any grandparents in the room that aren't you, or you're afraid of the word fuck, you wanna turn down your Apple iPods.
I want to point out, I'm kind of turning over a new leaf here. I wasn't the first person to yell fuck within the first 30 seconds of the episode.
Yeah, no, usually it's me. Kevin, for the past few episodes, has been dropping the first F-bomb. I liked it quite a bit, season 5, a little spicy. Now we got to take it back. Now it's mine. I'm taking back the word fuck in the first 5 minutes. It's mine. Speaking of fuck, there's only so many things Sorry, Tyler, is there anything that you wanted to say?
No, I wanted to look at the time.
He was time-checking you.
Oh, yeah, no, it's first 10 minutes. We got that. Tyler is super excited for the website. You can see his beautiful face in the staff page. We're working on ways to expand it. So if you think, if you take a look, we would love for you to go supergamesite64.com and just click around. You know, this isn't just a place for you to support us. This is a place for you to see our, you know, 1,000-word reviews, opinion articles, satire articles, top 5 lists. Kevin and I both have our top games of 2018 list on there, and I have the top 10 movies of 2018.
The only picture of me that exists on the internet.
It's there, and you can see it, and you'll be aroused. There's a lot of ways to interact with Super Game Site 64, and we would love to hear your criticisms, constructive please, and your general thoughts. You can email us at matt@supergamesite64.com. That's a thing, or hello@supergamesite64.com. We'll put a bunch of ways to contact us at the end of the show, as always. But speaking of things that would make you say fuck, all right? Before we get into the E3 2019 news, which I promise is going to be, it's a lot of this episode. We'll try to keep it funny, but it's a lot of content. Did you guys notice that this year's E3 felt very leaky? I mean, most are leaky, but
it was like a colander.
Last year, Canada Walmart just oopsed and, like, leaked 90% of the announcements. This year it was, like, secret Twitter agents were just like, did you know this was going to be there and this? And it was kind of hard to avoid. There was one person who was prolific in his leaking, and Kotaku, I believe, did an article on him. I just want to pose this idea to you guys. All right. So you're leaking some Nintendo news, maybe. You're about to leak some stuff.
I would never do that.
Right, we wouldn't. Nintendo, we'll never break embargo. You can trust us. Send me every copy of every game you have. If you were sitting there and you were going to leak something, right? But you weren't even in the country that you live in. You weren't even at the address that you preside in. And on the landline, I'm assuming, I don't know, you hear, hey, this is for you. You're like, what, for me? How does anyone know I'm here?
You're and just you pick walking, it up, walking by a payphone.
Almost exactly.
Yeah.
And they're like, hi, this is Nintendo. We know what you're doing. And if you don't, if you don't stop, we're going to sue you for everything you're worth for interfering with trade secrets. That is literally what happened to this leaker guy at like 2 a.m. the night before the E3 Nintendo. He got a call, and they recorded the voicemail, from what I understand, from a Nintendo lawyer. And they looked up online, and this is a guy who has worked for Nintendo. But the weirdest thing is this leaker who, you know, he didn't share his real name, obviously, but he wasn't staying at his house. He wasn't even in the country of residence, and no one knew he was there. But they got a phone call very late at night from a Nintendo lawyer who's like, we know what you're doing, we know where you're at, and if you don't stop, we're gonna take you apart, pretty much.
Dude, Doug Bowser ain't fucking around. This is no Reggie shit.
I wanna know what happened to Soulja Boy, because I haven't seen, ever since he got in trouble for that Soulja game.
Can somebody check on Soulja Boy for us?
Really? Ever since there is that, you know, Nintendo's snafu, because Soulja Boy was selling the Soulja game consoles that had some NES games on there. They got mad at him, and there were some court things, some legal things, but I haven't seen a picture of Soulja Boy since then. Healthy. Please.
He's been removed from the internet.
Oh.
Nintendo.
He's been scrubbed.
We love Nintendo.
Wait a second.
Nintendo's the best.
What were we talking about? I don't remember.
I feel, oh my god, he's Marty McFlying. Tyler, come back! Nintendo's great!
No, there was a guy we were talking about, and all of a sudden I forgot about him. Like, oh, yeah. Somebody scrubbed it from my memory.
That's weird.
With their Nintendo powers.
Why Anyways, am I on my phone?
So that's weird. Yeah, where were we? Let's talk about E3, anyways.
Can you imagine if Nintendo had that power?
I should come up with a song where it's
Nintendo
like...
Nintendo power?
You! That would be cool.
That would be good.
No one's ever done that. All right, I think with this joke.
Stupid-ass dance.
E3...
How about that?
E3 2019 press conferences. Guys,
Didn't he steal that dance?
Probably.
Who knows?
I think he stole that dance from Mickey Mouse.
If you like Soulja Boy, I think we have, every episode we have referenced Soulja Boy in this season, and it's probably like a weird thing. I wonder if Soulja Boy is laying in his like $9 million mansion listening to this podcast.
He's sitting there crying going, me.
Now watch me, you. The E3 2019 special is usually the same. We'll just run down the conferences in chronological order and touch on not everything. I know, I'm selling this episode as everything from E3 2019. It's not. It's just the shit we care about. Sorry, Madden. Sorry, almost all of EA. Which, what better way to start this than EA Play? I'm going to preface this by saying I was really the only person who watched a lot of the E3. Tyler?
I just want to say on the docket, EA isn't even on here, so I don't know what Matt's going
to
say.
Yeah, it's EA, they changed it up this year. We congratulated them, told them to, quote, hold this L, I will say that, hold this L for us, EA, because they did not do a press conference. Instead, what they did is from about noon till 4 p.m., Greg Miller came up and yelled at the audience about all these new things. If you're not familiar with Greg Miller, he is an IGN editor. Well, I used to work for IGN up at noon with Greg Miller. That was a video podcast people were very big fans of. Greg Miller's loud, and he's boisterous, and he's very positive, though.
Ah, the opposite of me.
And so...
the anti-Tyler, and also loud.
Yes, and so since EA has been under fire for, let's say, their disingenuous press conferences, right? You would say that. Greg Miller is the exact opposite of that. He's like, let's throw away the cards! I think he physically threw the, you know, the quote-unquote cards he was supposed to be reading off of in the air during Jet. And he said, it's E3, who cares? And immediately there, I was like, all right, EA is doing something weird.
Uh-oh.
This press conference or not press conference, I can't wait for them to drop the loot crate on it. Jedi Fallen Order will be coming out November 15th. Did you boys see any of the... there was like maybe 10 minutes of gameplay that was shown, if that.
No.
Kevin.
Is that not the same date as Pokemon Sword and Shield?
There is a lot of things that are November.
Yes.
Interesting.
There is, yes. And I think
I did watch it. And boy howdy.
What do you think?
I am psyched for that.
Jedi Fallen Order is a third-person action-adventure game that will have wall running, and you'll be able to... you can do the thing from Force Awakens where you, like, freeze their blaster. That's cool.
Yeah?
It looks like it might have some, I don't want to say Dark Souls-esque combat.
I know everybody was saying this, but that part where he froze the bolt in midair and pulled the stormtrooper right in front of it?
Yes. Oh, he killed the stormtrooper with his own blaster shot. It looks cool. Tyler, it's like if you took... not the reboot of Tomb Raider, but like Rise of the Tomb Raider, and then kind of through, I don't want to say surge combat. It doesn't look as challenging as Dark Souls, but it's not just like hack and slash combat. It's like one-on-one, and oh, this guy has a spear
lightsaber.
You're
fighting against like the Praetorian Guard kind of looking dudes with sweet vibro sabers and stuff like that.
And then you have, you know, an adorable droid.
Oh,
and
yes, the droid looks so good.
It's going to be that kind of game. It's a single-player adventure, though. Which is a good move for the Star Wars franchise, and probably a good move for all major video game adaptations of blockbusters. We'll talk more about that later.
And Saul Guerrera's in it.
Saul Guerrera's in it. Tyler?
Yes?
On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited were you for Jedi Fallen Order before E3 2019?
Zero.
And now that EA has shown their card, so to speak, and this game is right around the corner, November 15th, you'll be able to purchase it for, I don't know, $60, $70, $80, $100, who knows. How excited are you on a scale from 1 to 10?
Zero.
And you lost to sale, EA. Hold this L. Take it. Take it. Kevin, the only other thing I wanted to bring up about EA, if everyone said everything they want to say about Jedi Fallen Order, we'll talk about this towards the end of the year, and we'll review it on the website, probably. Apex Legends, I know you played, Kevin, quite a bit. Tyler, you maybe played a game or two of it. I know they announced some new stuff, maybe like a season pass or a new character.
New character.
Did you? Okay, so you saw this?
I haven't seen the details of it, but I do know that they announced a new character with, I believe, a new season or something along those lines.
So Apex Legends is getting some stuff. The Anthem people were also there, and that was tough. Greg Miller at one point was like, you guys have had a rough launch, and you could see the developer, like, physically dying in his seat. It's EA Play with something else, and then there's some Madden news, some FIFA news, some other stuff, but I didn't watch it, guys. I'm sorry. I watched the Jedi thing. If there's anything specifically that you felt we missed and you want to hear us talk about, please reach out to us on our Facebook or website or anywhere, and Twitter, at SupergameSite64. Or Super Game Cast 64.
I just got to reiterate how cool that droid was.
The droid is pretty dope.
The droid is your map.
I heard people getting mad because in one part of the cutscene, he falls into the water, and people are like, oh, what the fuck? He's a droid. He should short out. I just rewatched OG Star Wars, and R2-D2 swims, bro. He's under... like, it's fantasy. It's Star Wars, guys.
They can fly around
they're
in space and stuff.
Midichlorians.
They're space samurai, and you kibitz over a droid falling into some water?
Literally space samurai. Have you seen, not samurai, but did you see Star Wars Rogue One? That has Donnie Yen as a blind monk who doesn't even use a lightsaber. He just uses a double-sided spear and knocks the shit out of a stormtrooper. He just decapitates him, I think. It's been a while. I gotta rewatch that.
At least he knocks his helmet off. I like to think.
Yep.
The head was in there, too.
EA Fallen Order. EA's Fallen E3 was, you know, the gameplay for Star Wars looks decent, but that wasn't the focus. The next day, I believe, Microsoft came out Microsoft, since PlayStation wasn't there this year, Microsoft was poised. They had a lot of things to talk about. I can't remember if we made any predictions for Microsoft specifically, but I think they'll come to me as we go down the line. The first thing I wanted to bring up, though, is this Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, because specifically, I saw many of our community members discussing it.
I was going to bring that up, actually.
Did all of us get... Oops, I bumped the table. Did all of us get it? Tyler, did you?
No.
I still have not either.
Okay, so the way it works is very simple. If you have a subscription to Gold, Xbox Live Gold, and say it's like a year subscription, you could pay a dollar, and then you essentially gain Game Pass for that long, because it's taking all the different, you know, Game Pass, the Xbox Live Gold, the various services of Xbox Live, and combining them into one package called Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, which will be $15 a month, and include, like I said, Gold, Game Pass for PC, etc., more things to come.
Isn't Gold already $15 a month?
I believe it's the same price. Yeah, I don't think they're the pricing specifically on new members or what it'll be monthly besides 15 and what it compares to now. I'm a little lost on because I had a Gold subscription till February and I paid a dollar and now I have Game Pass till February. So it's like for most people who are existing Xbox Live users, it's kind of like how much of Game Pass did you get for a dollar, which I don't think was some sort of mistake. I think Microsoft specifically is trying to shuttle everyone over to Game Pass in anticipation for their new Xbox coming out next holiday, which we'll talk about here in a second. But Kevin, you're primed to get Xbox Game Pass. You bought yourself some gold.
I'm right? currently facilitating that purchase, yes.
That was the thing. If you bought like three, I think it was up to 3 years of gold.
Yeah, 36 months.
You could just get all that for Game Pass as well.
Yeah, you could pay a dollar and convert it all to Game Pass.
If you're interested in doing that deal, just turn on your Xbox One or go onto Microsoft.com. There's like ads for it all over the place. You can't even dodge it. I signed up for it and they're still telling me I should pay a dollar to switch my stuff.
It's cheaper than buying it outright.
Let me put it this way. If you have any interest in playing the open world RPG from the Fallout creators, The Outer Worlds, that will be on Game Pass free. Well, day one. So if you're going to buy that for $60, maybe spend a dollar and then you get to play it for like 6 months. It's up to you, but it's a really good deal, especially as they added a bunch of Game Pass games, including Metro Exodus, Borderlands Handsome Collection. Oh man, my brain right now. Hollow Knight, and then 20 other indie games, including two games they announced at the show, Supermarket Shriek, which is a shopping cart, it's a weird game, shopping cart riding screaming game, and Riverbond, which was a top-down local action beat-em-up kind of thing, ISO almost. But they announced those at the show and then just released them on Game Pass that night. So if you had Game Pass on E3, there's 24 new games for a dollar. Not a bad thing. Tyler, do you plan on getting this?
No.
You just don't think the Game Pass is going to have anything for you?
I want my Game Pass. I don't need to buy gold.
Ah, he already has it.
Yep.
Tyler, early adopter of Game Pass, if I remember right. Yep. Kevin, anything you want to say about Game Pass? Are you looking forward to Game Pass?
I'm like chomping at the bit because there's a few games that are on Game Pass right now that I'm dying to play and I can't.
I downloaded like 9 after I saw that list of 20 and I was just like, oh boy, here's more games for my backlog. It looks great. Guys, Tyler, you're excited. Project Scarlet. Let's just jump right into that.
I think we predicted Xbox One, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Xbox 12.
There's not a whole lot to say about Project Scarlet, because not a whole lot was said. They're saying 8K, 120 FPS.
They were really pumping up the tech specs on that, hoping that people would just be like, oh,
it's a strong one.
Oh, fancy words. What's a gigabyte?
Who's a teraflop? And then remember when we had that discussion in 2017 about what a teraflop was?
Yep.
And Kevin did a bunch of research, so did Tyler, and we all brought together. Guys, it doesn't even matter.
I think the interesting thing is that, and this is directly pulled from that presentation, is that they were saying they were somehow using solid-state drives to emulate physical RAM, and that is going to be...
It's out of my league already, bud.
Okay. Basically, it'll grant more processing space to the Xbox.
It's like offloading RAM onto the SSD, right? Or using it virtually, you said?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. Which is...
Tyler's over here like he just ate a lemon for the first time.
I'm sure it already exists, and there's a non-zero amount of PC players who are like, it already happens on the PC.
I got it on my Android.
I say that as a PC player, but it's just cool that they're bringing that to the... You know, to the peasants that you play seem consoles.
The pheasants.
The fiefdom.
Tyler, the you seem to be struggling with this.
I just don't understand why you would
partition
an SSD for RAM.
We'll find out. Holiday 2020, when
it
the
project... may not partition. It may just be there for the emulation of RAM.
When the Project Scarlet launches Holiday 2020 next to Halo Infinite.
I don't know computers, apparently.
Halo Infinite got a trailer. It was in-game engine, and it looked good, but it wasn't gameplay. It was a guy who was on a ship, and then he was all sad because he was stranded on the ship. And then Master Chief was outside his window, and he booted up Master Chief, and Master Chief went, let's fuck up some aliens. And then that's Halo Infinite coming next year. I'm excited for it. The thing is, they said it was launching with the Xbox Scarlet. So the question is Halo Infinite not an Xbox One game?
Because, accurate.
Because that's the app killer. I always thought it was going to be cross-platform, kind of how like they did with Destiny.
Oh, yeah. I mean, realistically, they should still do that. Most consoles do.
Yeah.
But that previously, I guess.
It was just weird messaging. They're like, we're launching the Scarlet with Halo Infinite. We'll see.
Maybe it comes with Halo Infinite?
That's what I've heard as well. It's definitely not coming with Gears 5. Gears 5, which is launching September 15th, I believe. I could be wrong on that date. It's first week of September. Not a whole lot was shown. There's a new escape mode where three WWE stars, or maybe just one of them was a WWE star, and that's why I'm thinking that they showed it off stream. Well, on a different stream. I didn't watch it, but it's escape mode. It's kind of like reverse horde. You're running. You're trying to get out of the dangerous situation. It's three-player co-op. It'll also have a story mode, once again, with a screaming girl, who I think is the daughter of Marcus Fenix. I don't know. I don't remember the story of Gears 4, but that's what I got from the Microsoft E3 2019 press briefing on Gears 5. A girl will be mad, there's going to be locusts, and all your WWE favorite stars are playing escape mode.
And, yeah, so to reiterate, one girl will be mad.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably a few women in the game.
Oh.
But the main girl, she's going to be yelling.
Yeah, I don't know. Have you seen the size of those dudes? Those big beefcakey boys that are in that game?
Who do you think has bigger biceps? Marcus Fenix and Dominic Santiago or Chris Redfield in Resident Evil 5, where his biceps literally look like bowling ball bags of flesh?
I think, I don't know. I mean, Marcus Fenix, he's a slab.
I feel like they all skip leg day, but they can't because of how fast they run, but they're all like hunched like they're...
Watching him roll,
it's like if you took a street shark and then you ripped off the top half and then attached it to the bottom of a Barbie doll.
Watching him, yeah, that's pretty good. Watching him roll is almost like throwing one of those classic silver garbage cans down. It's clearly designed to do that, like on some level, but like it would much rather be upright.
Watching Marcus Fenix roll looks painful, and I wonder how he's not dead from back injuries after the first chapter. We'll find out how he's doing in Gears 5 yoga. Launching this fall, right?
Marcus Fenix yoga.
We Fit Trainer Marcus Fenix skin. Speaking of things that look like awkward toys, Forza Lego Speed Champions. It wasn't an awkward toy. I played this. This is a surprise DLC for Forza Horizon 4.
Surprise.
It's kind of like in the same kind of vibe that the Forza Horizon 3 Hot Wheels DLC was last time. The Forza Horizon 4 Lego Speed Champions DLC is an addition to the open world action arcade racer Forza Horizon 4, wherein you travel to Lego Valley, a new zone completely made out of Legos, where you can drive Lego cars.
I just have one question. Can you fire pizzas at a helicopter?
So here's, all right.
If not,
it's not Lego City Underground.
Fuck off with this stuff.
Look, I've only played, so the way they approach it is a little bit different. Instead of like the seasons moving and stuff and things unlocking with time, you just get the whole map and then you have hundreds of Lego challenges where it's like, do a flip in a Lego PT Cruiser or some shit. And if you do that, you get some bricks. And if you get enough bricks, you get to make more Lego house.
I'm sorry, just the absurdity of a Lego PT Cruiser.
I don't know. I think it's actually a Mini Cooper. But
it's not better.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's a little better.
It's all great. All I want to say is that Lego Forza Horizon is basically just Lego racing. It's different enough and separate enough from the main game where while you can, like, I tore ass through the Lego Valley in my Hello Kitty Impreza.
But is it like driving across cobblestones the entire game? Because a little...
No, so like the roads are real, so not everything is Legos, but like everything that counts and everything you'll run into and kill is definitely Legos. And there's, you know, it's nice. There's different zones. Like, there's that, the dinosaur desert, and there's, like, the haunted forest. And it's all, I don't want to say Minecraft, but it feels like we took 4 to 5 biomes, made them in Lego, and then wrapped a bunch of fun challenges and said, you can drive a fucking Lego McLaren. Fuck you. The funniest part about the whole thing is, you know, in every promo for a new racing game, they always have, like, some English dude being like, this car is really fucking nice. And it's, like, doing a slow pan over, like, a wheel or something. Lego Forza Horizon 4 starts with that, and they're like, top speed, top racing. And it's just scanning slowly over a Lego wheel. And it's like, not 480p, but it's just, there's nothing interesting about it. And they're like, it's the top performance in racing. Just like a Lego brick sitting there. It's all very tongue-in-cheek and fun. And you can buy it for, I believe, $20. Maybe it's, it's $20 or $18 if you have Game Pass. Which is a weird thing I've been noticing. I don't know if you boys have been noticing this as well. It's kind of like they're giving people discounts if they have Game Pass, but not gold.
That's been a thing.
You were mentioning that the other episode, Kev.
What they should do, and I may be reiterating,
jump off a bridge. That's a joke.
What they should do is, if you already own Game Pass, and let's say they give you the game for that month, and let's say you really like that game, they should offer you a discount so you can purchase it forever.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of like, I think Nintendo was originally supposed to do that with their Switch Online stuff, and then who knows where that went. It's nice to get free things, right, boys? Free things are nice.
Yeah.
Oh, Tyler?
Yeah, free food tastes better.
I was going to ask what Legos look like in 4K.
I don't have 4K.
You kind of lucky.
They look crisp. I'll say those are the best damn looking Legos I've ever seen.
You see the word Lego on the little pips?
Oh my god, I'm kidding you not. When they do the close up of like the taillights of the Lego car and it's on, you can see the Lego symbol reversed, and the serial of the part number, cause it's pressed in the reverse direction. Dude, it's like very high quality, but at the end of the day, you know, it's like a matte gray Lego piece. How nice can you make that look? It's definitely a Lego piece. It would be hard to tell the difference nice. Between a real Lego piece and that one. Yeah, free things. Borderlands 2 DLC.
Yeah.
I think some people were talking about this happening. It's Borderlands 2 DLC for free that goes between Borderlands 2 and Borderlands 3. Now, I know none of us have played it here, but there is now, surprise, somebody who has played it. Somebody who has played it, and it's somebody you've been wanting to hear from for a while now. Borderlands Handsome Collection is now available on PlayStation for free and Xbox Game Pass. There's no reason that you should play the new DLC, and here's somebody to tell us about it. The only.
The man himself.
Big Texas 10-4, Dan Owen.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
Borderlands.
Good to see you. I'm good. How are you guys?
Borderlands 2 DLC, Dan.
I've gotten about 2-3 hours in. It kind of connects 2 to 3, it seems like.
Nice.
I've been thoroughly enjoying it so far. A lot of content, a lot of areas to go, quests to do. It's a good time.
Is Lilith in the Sanctuary is what it's called?
Yeah. So essentially it just starts off with them being like, oh, remember at the end of 2 when there were all these vaults and
remember
that's
that
what
shit?
We're doing? And then Sanctuary gets attacked and they're like, oh,
spoilers.
Fuck, we probably should have done that.
Spoilers.
And, I think it's called Attack.
It's literally like the first 3 minutes of the DLC, guys. Yep. So,
you're not wrong.
And then so the story carries on. What do they do after that?
Other people told me that they have raised the level cap to 80, and now there's OP 10. There's 10 levels of OP now.
There's also another tier of weapons.
Oh, the rainbow weapons.
Yes.
Nice. Well, so Dan, I'm glad. Thank you for that information. Maybe we'll have you back, or maybe not. It looks like
Bloodstained is really good as well. It's a good time so far.
Dan's rubbing that right in their faces.
I'm just saying.
You tease.
So
it's not disappointing.
You tease.
Bloodstained came out a week earlier than Kevin and Tyler were anticipating because it's coming out a week earlier than it is on Switch. So Bloodstained is available on various consoles right now, and they're recording this right now instead of playing it. Which I wish
just want to reiterate.
I'm dying inside.
I pre-ordered Bloodstained on Switch 4 years ago prior to owning a Switch because I was that confident that not only would I own a Switch, but that would be the ideal platform on which to play it.
And now you get to watch as IGN's Kotaku's play the Xbox. We'll have to talk, Kotaku, because somebody on your Cadence of Hyrule review was like, it's really hard to figure out where to go. And did you not talk to any of the 4 shopkeepers who give you potions? Because they just pointed out on your map.
Amateur hour.
Heather Alexandra, what are you doing? What are you doing, girl?
Damn.
Sorry, I gotta call you out. No to play
the game. I'm blessed.
All right.
Bye, guys. Have fun.
Later. Goodbye, Borderlands 2 DLC sounded good. I'm gonna get into it tonight. Maybe we should all play a little bit. I'm gonna have to play it before Borderlands 3, which we got a new trailer for at the Microsoft press conference that's coming out September 13th, something like that.
Hey, this is just a little. I'm just going to throw this in there to break things up.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the video of Jack Black surprising that fan that was wearing a Tenacious t-shirt at E3?
Yes.
That was great.
Did you see the whole Jablinski's Game video?
Oh, yeah. I watch every one of his videos.
So I cannot... Jablinski Games is Jack Black, him and his sons doing gaming things.
It's so good.
With Jack Black's clout, his son is now like... Because the kid just likes video games, you can tell. And he likes doing like shit posting and memeing on the internet. I feel like this was his idea. And now Jablinski Games and Jack Black on YouTube Gaming is one of the biggest things. His kids got into like the Doom Eternal behind closed doors thing. Like they got to skip the line on so many different things. So shouts out to Jack Black's kid for fucking working the system young. Get yourself those free games. Get yourself in the industry, man. Smart kid. And Jack Black seems to be having a good time with his kids.
His kids are awesome. The whole show is really good because
wholesome.
It's just super wholesome.
If you don't watch Jablinski Games on YouTube and you're looking for a little bit something different from your normal streams, definitely recommend checking it out.
He only has 4 million subscribers. Don't help him.
Only 4 million. And he started like 5 months ago. 4 months ago. Jack Black's got clout, bro. Shouts out, man. Tenacious D, one of my favorite bands of all time. Battletoads is looking interesting. No release date there, but it looks like they're trying to do like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Man.
What? Well, you got thoughts, Tyler, huh?
Yeah, I'm angry.
Okay, you're not the first person to say you're angry. Another friend of the show, Mike, also expressed his disinterest in the graphical style and the speed of the gameplay, Tyler. So why don't you coalesce and discuss?
All right, Mike, I'm sure you've played plenty of quality graphical...
Beat-em-up games with good qualities.
Oh, I'm just so mad I can't even talk straight. Okay.
It's okay. Battletoads.
Battletoads were in...
They made them look like cartoons and you're mad? I'm trying to help you through this.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to talk
trying
for
to
you, but...
remember, they were in Killer Instinct.
Yes, they were.
And they look... It was just Rash. Was it Rash?
But they looked really good.
Really good.
Realistic, also with a cartoony kind of vibe to them.
And still had, like, all their signature moves. Like, he turns into a wrecking ball at one point, and that's awesome!
Yes.
Why not all three of them?
Are you more mad that you didn't just get to see the rest of the Battletoads in a more realistic fashion, or that they didn't use that graphical style for the full game?
The second one.
I agree with you fully, and then I also wish I could have seen the other Battletoads, because you're right, Rash played so fucking well in Killer Instinct. And Killer Instinct's a great game. So, at the end of the day,
just saying.
If you're really sad about this Battletoad news, which we'll find out whenever it comes out, maybe it's an Xbox Scarlet exclusive, I tell you what, it'll be on Game Pass day one, because it is a Microsoft exclusive, and you can play it there without having to spend $40, $30, however much they're charging for it.
Probably $15.
It'll be an interesting thing. Speaking of things that'll be on Game Pass day one, Kevin, did you have anything you want to say about Battletoads before we move on?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the people at GameStop are pretty excited.
Yo. I worked at GameStop for several years, and I had a pre-canned response for people who would call and say, do you have Battletoads? And it was essentially just a whole rundown of kind of offensive 4chan jokes that I'm not going to repeat, because the Battletoads prank calls were in a different era of the internet. So Battletoads prank calls on GameStop were bad and annoying, but also not a bad way to spend 20 minutes talking to people that you were pretending were customers on the phone when you should have been organizing that PS2 game rack, Matt. Sorry, future me. Past me. Or maybe good job.
You're the reason ThinkGeek took over.
Fuck. I think actually GameStop is now re-separating from ThinkGeek. GameStop's doing not so hot, guys. Their stocks were reported at...
They're getting GameStopped.
For real. Just look... Google search GameStop stock price. And you're going to see some articles that might make you want to stop pre-ordering at GameStop, because that $5 might not be coming back. Double Fine. They are now an Xbox game studio.
Fine.
Which was amazing to me. Dan was just here. He loves Psychonauts. He's so excited for Psychonauts 2. And when they announced that it was an Xbox game studio, meaning it's now Double Fine is Microsoft exclusive unless they decide to go on Switch.
They just straight out, they were like, oh, yeah, and we bought Double Fine. Like,
that was what they acquired.
That was literally, like, almost verbatim what
they
said.
Also acquired, I can't remember what their name is or the studio, but it's, like, some first-person shooter, kind of like Counter-Strike, that's super popular in, I think, South Korea. Game, not Game Face, something like that. They also acquired that studio. But Microsoft Game Studios, the main acquisition was Double Fine, creators of Broken Age and Psychonauts and Brutal Legend and upcoming Psychonauts 2, which will be available on Xbox Game Pass day one. Guys, you don't understand. I've been looking forward to this game for so long. They tried to do Fig, which was a different kind of Kickstarter, and I was like, I don't know if I want to support this new platform. Maybe that's me being shitty. I love Tim Schafer, though. My time came and went. And then E3 2019, they basically said, hey, Matt, you remember that dollar you paid yesterday? You just bought Psychonauts 2 for yourself when it comes out. And I'm like, oh, shit. That's another game I don't have to spend $60 to play, but I'll definitely buy 5 physical copies of.
I've told this story many, many times on this show.
Yes.
But in the event that we have new listeners,
yes.
Psychonauts is the reason I dragged my original Xbox on vacation with me as a young child.
This is a dual story because after you tell that, I always say that I dragged my Xbox to Michigan when we went on a cabin retreat in sixth grade with my best friend Chris. And I played Halo 2 and Psychonauts the entire time.
Yeah, we went to the New Jersey beaches and I spent...
And you're playing Psychonauts.
Yeah.
This is a triple story where I tell everybody that I dragged my Game Boy to...
You dragged Psychonaut.
Wherever we went, and a backpack full of batteries so I could continue to play for more than 1 hour.
It's a good time here. Guys, I feel like Microsoft, we did a succinct job.
Acquisitions are...
Yeah, can you grab
Ninja
that?
Ninja Theory, Playground Games...
So that's from last year. Make sure you... Last year, Playground Games is who does Forza.
Come on, Internet.
Check your sources.
Ninja Theory is... they announced a new thing that we forgot to talk about. Thank you, Tyler.
You're welcome.
Bleeding Edge. Ninja Theory. Bleeding Edge is a 4-on-4 multiplayer PvP. It's kind of like a cross between third-person action game and the hero shooters we've been seeing. Open beta starting soon. I don't know. It's PC and Xbox, but that's what Ninja Theory is working on. Tyler, while you find... The other, it's not really that important. It's like a very, I don't want to say it's not important, their second acquisition, but it sounds like they just kind of got it so they could bring this very popular online shooter to the Xbox One. But unless you're into games like Counter-Strike and like very straightforward shooters, might not be of interest to you.
You guys remember Guns?
Yes, I do.
I want them to bring that back.
Remember Gun for the Xbox 360? That was like Red Dead Redemption?
I do remember that.
What if they made Gun plus Guns equals Gun?
Dude. Moon? I farmed months to get a sword in that game.
Do you guys remember Guns? My favorite part about Guns was when you guys used the sword. Guys,
that was the best part. You could like just dash in the air.
That was my absolute favorite part of Destiny.
You're not wrong. None of us are
and
wrong.
Halo, for that matter.
Speaking of things that aren't wrong, I put in an article on SuperGameSite64.com. But you're the asshole. SuperGameSite64.com. The most underrated... games from the Xbox E3 2019 briefing. If you want to see more games that we thought were excellent, including Blair Witch Project, RPG Time, Lego Star Wars, find out more information about those games there. We will talk about those games more in the future on the podcast as stuff comes up. Tyler, did you find... I don't think it was like... I'm not saying it's not a big deal so you don't say it, but it's not a big deal because I don't think a lot of people wrote like headlined... acquisitions or even mentioned it. It was literally, they showed a trailer for this first person shooter and people were like, this looks like a Call of Duty but not as good. And
Express
then,
Logic?
No, but it sounds
sense.
It sounds like something like that. And then they're like, we have this game because we acquired the studio. And it was said it like on text. We'll get to it. Let's move on.
Is it any of these? Obsidian.
Not Obsidian. No. Maybe. Data Sense might have been it. Bethesda, as we pull up into about 40 minutes here. Guys, we ripped on Bethesda quite a bit.
We did?
Last episode.
Oh, saying let's continue.
Remember they had a toilet year? And when yes. The toilet flushed during episode 124?
Yeah.
I want to revisit a thing that Kevin said. Kevin said that he thought there was going to be... I thought they were going to not announce, talk about Fallout 76. I believe that's what I said. I don't remember what Tyler said, but I very specifically remember Kevin making a prediction that Fallout 76 would get a new expansion wherein you could craft melee weapons, and it was all about the origins of the important characters of a Bethesda property. And it would introduce all these new things that had never been seen before. Now, it was a joke about a Skyrim DLC, but goddammit, wouldn't you know, Fallout 76, they come out and they announce a new DLC where you can now craft, you don't have to use guns, because you can craft melee weapons, and it's all about the introduction of Fallout 76's NPCs as they build the new world that has been fabled. Kevin made a joke that they were going to make a DLC about the history of Skyrim, and they're making a DLC about the history of Fallout, and it's going to be free for Fallout 76. So Tyler, or
I'm
not Tyler.
Saying, I have an approximate Kevin predictive.
It's called Wastelanders, and it'll be coming out for any Fallout 76 owners, people who own the game, you can just get it for free.
They call it Wastelanders because you're going to feel like you're in a wasteland because no one's going to be playing it.
They call it Wastelanders because that's the name of the NPCs. Well, there's a bunch of shit.
Well, so here's the thing. Every other time we mention a game, literally every time a game comes out of one of our mouths, the other person goes, it's going to be a battle royale.
It's going to be a battle royale.
One time we didn't do it.
And guess what? Fallout 76... Battle Royale.
Because why would they make Fallout a Battle Royale?
Because what else do you do when your game is suffering and you need to make money quick and you're trying to draw people towards the Atom Store? I don't know if it was Penguin, whatever that kid is on YouTube. Someone pointed out they were playing and you can wear power armor in the Fallout 76 Battle Royale mode. And then you can put a costume over it so people don't know you're wearing power armor. So that when you run at them with just wearing like the Uncle Sam costume that I wear, they're like, oh, look at this jerkhead with like no armor. And turns out you actually have like 9K armor underneath the suit. But there's no way to tell with the life bars because there's no indication of like how much life they have. So you can just run around in a power armor suit and just face check
people.
That's
just the most Bethesda thing I've ever heard.
But the cool thing, I guess, about all this is it was an apology, so to speak, for Fallout 76. And all this content is free if you already purchased the game. If you haven't, wait until this Wastelanders DLC releases, and we'll see if it's a Sea of Thieves situation, which they've kind of turned a new leaf, kind of a Destiny 1 situation, which it's a better game. But as of now, I still don't recommend Fallout 76. It definitely won our most disappointed, or was runner-up for most disappointing of 2018. Anything left we want to say about Fallout 76? Anything at all?
Good luck.
Good luck.
Godspeed.
Godspeed. Elder Scrolls Online. I predicted that they would come out and say, we have a lot of people playing Elder Scrolls Online. Here's two new DLCs. They came out and said, a lot of people are playing Elder Scrolls Online. We had to get new server space for our millions of players. Here's two new DLC. Scalebreaker. It's a dungeon DLC. So if you like playing dungeons in your Elder Scrolls Online, you can get that. If you want to finish the story of the Year of the Dragon that was started in some quest and then continued in Elsweyr, the big expansion, you could finish that with a Dragonhold chapter releasing later this year.
I gotta ask.
Yep.
Who the hell pays attention to story in an MMO?
Okay, that's like, it's a split
Good
thing.
Good question.
It's a split thing because at first in like vanilla ESO, I would skip over all the text. I was like, right. I really don't care. Once right. I was past my first few zones, who cared? And then Somerset was like Skyrim level. Where you're like, oh, this is really good quests. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, I've been on this kind of... It's a problem, too, when you're getting with people together with groups, is people like, hey, let's play this new expansion. And then they start blasting through the objectives because they're skipping all the text, and you're here trying to read literally 5 minutes of dialogue.
You're like, oh, my husband can't sit because he's got terrible hemorrhoids.
Go find these five...
I need you to go harvest this mud crab shell.
Yeah, that's not the kind of quests that they bring in the expansions of Elder Scrolls Online, but it is kind of the stuff you'd expect in the vanilla content. So Elder Scrolls Online, it's a mixed bag, so
to
speak.
To the vanilla.
Yeah, ESO is good. Everyone should play it, in my opinion, especially if Game Pass. It's on there. You can play vanilla ESO for free. Here's another thing I want to briefly bring up. Orion streaming technology. I'm going to take a wild gander that both you boys have not heard anything about this.
No. I have.
Okay, Kevin, it's unimportant what it is, but we both understand it to be a kind of add-on to make your streaming games run better at an engine level. It's for yep. game developers.
Yep.
I just want to bring it up that they were talking about this at their press conference that is meant for consumers, but also to show off their new tech. But this is entirely something that is made for game developers to purchase.
Right.
And it was a great example of a continuing problem throughout E3 2019 of people yelling at times at which there was nothing to yell about. They were discussing Orion streaming technology, which is going to make your games run better on streaming platforms like Stadia and stuff like that. And some guy in the background was like, oh my God. And it's either a paid plant or someone is freaking out for no reason.
No, it's that dumbass kid that was in every one of your classes from grade 1 through 7 that could get a chuckle out of people by saying something stupid inopportune time.
So the first time this happened was at E3, the Xbox press conference, where someone yelled to Keanu Reeves that you're breathtaking during the Cyberpunk 2077 announcement. And then somebody at CD Projekt Red thought that they should reward that person for interrupting the press conference by giving them a free copy of the game. Bethesda's conference and Square Enix's conference were both riddled with people screaming at the top of their lungs over the dumbest shit. Just every pause break, specifically the ESO segment, there was a guy who was just screaming every new server space. Whoa! They must have taken him out. It's either people were way drunk because both Square and Bethesda's press conferences took place towards the end of the night in LA, or it's paid plans. I don't know. I wrote a whole article about it called Audience Members Can't Stop Yelling at E3 2019, and you can check that out on supergamesite64.com. Let me say that again. supergamesite64.com. Tyler, you read that article.
Yes.
Did I do a good job? Did I make a funny once or twice, maybe?
You answered all my questions.
Good.
I do want to point out,
what is this article about? You told me.
If it wasn't funny to him or gave him the giggles, it was definitely informative, and that's a win for me. Kevin?
I do want to point out the gentleman who was offered a free copy of the game.
Yes.
Said, "How about instead you give a go-kart to this children's hospital?" And what that is you remember in school when the teacher wasn't there and the sub would walk in with one of those like tall TV carts?
Yes, yes.
One of those full of video games. So he's like, hey, instead of giving me a free video game, I'm going to use my platform to try to bring gaming to kids who are sick.
Way to turn it around, guy who interrupted
that
the thing.
That was awesome. I think that was great.
He took the bad karma he got for interrupting the press conference and yelling at Keanu Reeves, one of the nicest people in the world. Although he did say, you're breathtaking, so it wasn't like a mean heckle. He reversed that karma by offering these games to the sick kids. So, top tier. Good job, man. Don't stop yelling during public things, though. You're not cool. I get it. Cool. It's nice.
What
on
you did was not cool. Way to go. Way
and
to
then
go,
you did job. A cool thing afterwards, but you're still not cool for doing it in the first place. No matter how breathtaking Keanu Reeves is. Real quick, Commander Keen.
It's your boy.
I love Commander Keen. There's people on who listen to the show who love Commander Keen. And I would be remiss if I didn't say Commander Keen, Commander Keen, Commander Keen. If you haven't heard of Commander Keen, Google search it. It is a classic PC game about a boy. And he jumps around, he shoots aliens in their fucking faces. It was made by 3D Realms, the same people who made Duke Nukem. I think. I could be wrong. No, it was made by id Software, the same people who made Doom, and that's why it was at Bethesda's E3 conference. Sad, though, because it's going to be a mobile game. Maybe good, who knows, but it's nothing like the original game. Commander Keen, it's a mobile game coming out soon, action platformer, some co-op stuff. We'll see. Guess what is coming out soon, boys? I said guess. What's coming out soon?
I don't like guessing.
Tyler, guess. Starts with a D and ends with an Eternal. I'll give you a minute. You're not jumping. Do you need a? I can switch to Deathloop, which is the new game from the Dishonored people about two assassins stuck in a time loop trying to kill each other. It's a cinematic trailer that looks really cool.
Oh, you mean Looper?
Yeah, Looper.
But it's a girl and a guy, and it's
it's got
like a Dishonored
super
thing,
different.
And it's open world. But I mean, yeah, kind of, yeah,
super different.
Fuck you, really? I was actually excited for that, and then you said Looper, and I was like, that was a good movie, and I think I'm kind of all right. But that Deathloop, look up the original or the debut trailer. It looks awesome.
If you make a custom character, I'm making Bruce Willis.
You don't, Tyler? Did you figure out my riddle? My riddle trick begins with a D. Ends with an Eternal.
Wolfenstein Youngblood.
Okay. Wolfenstein Youngblood is going to be a co-op shooter. Takes place in the 1980s, right? BJ Blazkowicz. He's Paris. He's stuck in Paris. He's disappeared. No one knows where he's at. He's Paris.
Paris.
The America has been freed from the Nazi regime.
Nice.
Good.
Via nukes.
We've killed a lot of Nazis. Now BJ's two twin daughters are going on an adventure to find their dad. And it's got like a comedy thing. And from what I understand, it's like they're all like, kung ho, we're going to steal a helicopter. We're going to kill the Nazis. And like the first time someone kills a Nazi, they fucking puke because they're just like not ready for it. And it's all this very like, not road trip kind of thing, but a neon, very violent, very let's kill Nazis. I cannot tell you how many times the presenter was telling the audience, you're going to be able to really fuck up Nazis. They were really punching that home several times like, over.
We heard that these guys might be coming back IRL, so you get to fuck up some Nazis.
If there was one thing I gleaned from the Wolfenstein stuff they showed, between Wolfenstein Youngblood, the co-op first-person shooter coming out in July, or Wolfenstein Cyberpilot, the VR game in which you take over Nazi-controlled war crime machines and then turn them on themselves. I mean, that's what they were. Turn them on the Nazis themselves. Generally speaking, was that we don't like Nazis and we should kill all of them. Specifically, Bethesda doesn't like them. And you can start doing that this summer when Wolfenstein Cyberpilot and Wolfenstein Youngblood launch. It's going to be a great time. Tyler, listen. I know you're struggling, buddy, but starts with ends with Eternal. It's the sequel.
Tyler, Animal Crossing.
It's the sequel to 2016's revival, which started with a D-O-O-M. Tyler, please, God.
Tyler's rocking back and forth like he's got to poop.
November 26th, Tyler's bowels will be emptied into the depths of hell.
There is a burning smell.
Tomb Raider.
Close. Doom Raider. Doom Eternal. Doom Eternal.
Tomb Raider Eternal.
Doom Eternal. It's looking amazing. It's another fast action game.
Sorry, I just kicked the table.
It's a first person. If you play Doom 2016, you shoot a lot of demons in the face very quick with very many weapons. Doom 2, or Doom Eternal, as I'm calling it, as everyone's calling it because it's the name of the fucking game, is like that, but just amped up. Everything on the maps are very colorful and very obvious where they are because they want you to be moving super fast at all times. And it's kind of this combat puzzle where everything makes you what?
I opened my eyes too wide.
Tyler hurting himself in just new ways.
Paragon of intelligence over there.
So, like, if you kill someone with your flamethrower that's on your back, you get, like, an armor pickup, and then you're like, I got armor. Tyler needs armor for his eyelids.
He does. I think those are called glasses.
No, I had surgery to not have those.
Bethesda had a decent showing. I would say they made good on Fallout 76. There's some good things coming out. I have to add something to the Ubisoft list, because I just remembered it, and it was awesome.
Bethesda's coming out with a brand new cereal. Called Death Loops.
But it's two. Death Loops.
They look like Oreo O's.
It's just a box full of ashes.
It's Fruit Loops, but it's just the dust of them.
They're just black and white.
Christ.
Oreo O's.
I should buy some Oreos. Death Loops. If they don't make like a Lucio's, you know how Overwatch had Lucio's? No, it's a real thing. I saw it.
What about Urkelos?
quality cereal based humor.
Holy
here.
Shit! That was an era. That was the same era as the Will Smith rap outro.
Yes, right,
in every movie that he was in.
Yes,
we need that again. We
Independence
need
Day.
Yeah, like Men in Black. Yeah. We need that to come back. The cereal based.
We don't.
Not the rap. We need the cereal based tie-in.
Oh,
right. The cereal based tie-in to media. And if
it tastes good, I'm sending it back.
Right.
It needs to taste
like rat ass.
It needs to taste shittier than anything you've ever. You're wondering if it's dog food at this point. Moving on to things that taste bad in my mouth.
Can we have a Will Smith rap outro to this episode?
This has got such a tight editing schedule that I might even forget to put in the intro music, let alone craft Will Smith's French Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Also, since we're asking for money now, I don't think we should use as much copyrighted content.
Agreed.
It's not copyrighted if you make it yourself.
It's not copyrighted if you kidnap Will Smith and force him to do an iteration
in studio.
What
else is he doing right now?
Probably watching after his kids and making a lot of money. Ubisoft had an E3 press conference. It was a good time. There was a lot of stuff about shooting people in the faces. Let me tell you that. There are so many ways that you can shoot people in the face that I can't even list that many. But Ubisoft was all about it. Besides,
it's not like a yes or no question.
You
it's
can.
Like a...
Like, how?
Right, but... What's the...
With a bullet? Okay.
With Rainbow Six Quarantine. That was one of the things I saw a lot of people excited about at the Ubisoft press conference. It's Rainbow Six, but with zombies. And that's all I know. Because the trailer was a guy who was breathing really heavy, and then there was a beeper on his arm, and he was like, oh, I'm a zombie! And then Dying Light 2 is also a zombie game that's coming out that I just forgot about. Square Enix talked about it at their press conference, but we'll talk about that later.
Can I bring something up real quick?
Yeah, sure.
So, in countless games, you play as...
innumerable number.
Unbelievable number of different protagonists.
Uh-huh.
And they vary from men to women.
Yeah.
Dogs, dragons.
Yeah. Sometimes you're playing all the characters. You control them like a god. Like in like a Sim City.
But I don't know. Think about your favorite game, right? Think about your favorite game for a second. What game wouldn't be enhanced by the ability to play as an octogenarian?
What is an octogenarian?
An 80-year-old.
Oh, I know where you're going with this now.
What game would not be enhanced? Such as
Forza.
Stardew Valley, for example. You could be George wheeling around. Actually, you don't even have to wheel around. Your wife will wheel you around in your wheelchair.
So
most games can be made better with old people in it.
Fuck yeah, dude.
The secondary, like, the really, the biggest sub-character in Mega Man is an old man.
Wily. Can you get to, do you play as Wily at any point?
Talking about Dr. Light.
Wily. Oh, okay. Yeah, Dr. Light. Do you get to play as Dr. Light at any point?
Yes.
Was it once. The best? Was it the best? Because this
it
might
didn't
be the...
make any sense, but like he could jump as high as Mega Man, which is to say, I think it's 14 feet
jumps.
Into the air.
He's got jumps.
It didn't make the game worse.
It didn't make it better.
There you go. That's a point in my book.
We're talking about, of course, about Watch Dogs Legion. The game in which you can take control of an old lady with a gun. Okay. They only showed her hitting people, like with her purse and stuff, but I bet you can shoot people in the goddamn mouth as an
I bet
woman.
You could, like, hip check them with your titanium hip.
I bet you can drive
that's
a car super fast as the old lady, eject out of the front windshield, GTA 5 style, hit somebody, and just hack their phone and steal all their credit cards in one fell swoop.
What if they added, you know how the dude in Watch Dogs 2 had the yo-yo? What if they had that, but it's your teeth?
What if it's a fidget spinner with blades on it?
Fuck.
It is the future, guys.
Just
we have
your teeth out, and you just whip them with it.
We all know none of this is going to happen.
Are we sure?
80-year-olds do not drive above the speed of 25.
The Watch Dogs Legion, the whole idea is that it takes place in a future dystopian-ish version of London, where
we got to be careful what we're labeling dystopian at this point.
As a dystopian-ish. I don't, yeah.
Because it's starting to be a little bit too real.
Topian.
There's a lot. It's topical. It's a, let's say, near future, potentially real. London, it's a big mega corporation's taken over. And in Watch Dogs 2, you start a DedSec, which was the hacker group fighting against the system. And you played as Marcus, I believe his name was, who's a great character. And Watch Dogs Legion, you play as all. You play them all. You gotta
play them all.
You can hack people's brains. You can't hack their brains, but you hack like their phones or some shit, and then you just play as them. And if you die, you die. And you gotta go on to the next person. I've seen a lot of people playing, saying in headlines, you get to play as every NPC. And then I saw somebody else on Twitter saying, that's an oxymoron because NPC means non-playable character. And I agreed. So in Watch Dogs Legion, you get to play as every person in the game. All the citizens. That's what they're billing it as, at least. In Watch Dogs 1, I think that's what they were trying to go for as well, but it was just not what they could do. Watch Dogs Legion, though, should be good, because Watch Dogs 2 was super spoop. Not spoop, it was super, like, really, really good. It was just spoopy how real life it was. Both in, like Kevin was saying, how it's not dystopian as much as it's like, oh, this is real. And also, it looked a lot like San Francisco. They did a good job.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta look out, though. They're setting up for their final installment of the series. I think they're going to call it Listen Cats.
Watchdog Skynet. Listen Cats?
Yeah.
It's where you plug in a bunch of like listening devices into the ears of felines, and then that's how you... It's kind of like Five Nights at Freddy's, but...
Right.
Good. Well, Watchdog's Legion...
That sounds terrible.
Watchdog's Legion, you can get at some point. I think it's next year. I don't know. I don't... A lot of these games at E3 were like, coming in 2019 or 2020. There wasn't a lot of hard dates.
But at one point, that's exactly how Breath of the Wild was. Remember that? Remember that announcement 3 years ago?
Yeah, Breath of the Wild's coming. It'll be
like,
there.
Ah, look at this cool Zelda game. It's like cel-shaded and there's a cool arrow. And that's all we got. And then before we knew it, it was here.
So like it's coming in 2 days. Other things Ubisoft announced. Sam Fisher. There was this whole thing before E3 where people were thinking there was going to be a new Splinter Cell because people were saying that he was going to be there. Sam Fisher was there, guys. Sam Fisher from Splinter Cell fame was at the Ubisoft E3 2019 press conference. But not a new Splinter Cell game. He's in a mobile game. It is a mobile game where you shoot people in the face.
Wow.
It's a turn-based tacticals. I don't know. That's all I gleaned from it. Like
it's
I said,
the Elder Scrolls Blades, but it's the Elder Scrolls guns.
Are you going to shoot people in the face, Tyler? In your no. As Sam Fisher? But you are the arbiter of mobile games. So you saying you're not going to play the new Ubisoft mobile game?
What if it was the other one that...
I don't know. Are
was
you
Call of Duty set up for mobile?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good.
No, point. No. There was a new Funko Pop game.
Gears Pop.
Yeah, I pre-rushed for that.
Okay, you know what? Tyler will probably play it. He just won't know that he played it. I don't even know what it's called. We'll find out more about it. Sam Fisher will be in it.
Is there a way to look up what things you've pre-registered for?
I don't know. In your Google store, probably. It's not that important right now. What is important is Gods and Monsters.
Dude, yeah.
Isn't that just Zelda?
Close. It's like Zelda crossed with Assassin's Creed Odyssey and Mythology.
Zelda, Breath of the Odyssey.
It is the people who made Assassin's Creed Odyssey, is that developer. And, well, I mean, it's Ubisoft, but it's those, that team. And it is essentially like a cel-shaded, it's not realistic looking. I mean, it looks really good, but it's more of a fantasy world where you play as a main character who will be searching and seeking out mythological beasts like harpies.
I wonder if those myths are going to include all the scenes in which Zeus has sex. Because if it does, the game's going to be like 120 hours long.
What if you play as Zeus? Because it would be in brand, as you can see in Assassin's Creed Odyssey, where if your main character could just fuck everything that moves.
Hell yeah.
So it's going to be an M-rated game.
Probably. If you play as Zeus, it would make the most sense.
But if you don't, it'll be a 20-hour game.
Controlling. Just trying to make the audio the best for you guys. You know what the scariest thing of the show I think I saw was?
What?
Tokyo Ghost. I don't know if this was Ubisoft or this was Square. I think this was Square.
Dude, I'm not fucking with any ghosts.
I don't even think it's called Tokyo Ghost.
Just kidding. What was it called?
It's on our Instagram, @SuperGamesSite64. It is made by Grasshopper Man. No, Suda51. No, that's No More Heroes.
Studio 17.
I'm all over the place.
It's Team 17.
It's a game about scary things are happening in Tokyo. It's going to be a third-person action game. All sorts of Japanese horror. It's like they're taking all these kind of crazy myths, another myth-based game, and it's going to get spooky and scary. The thing is that the trailer, it was a pre-rendered CGI trailer, but it... Guys, we're getting to another uncanny valley here. Like, very uncanny valley, where everyone just looks real, and then it's scary. And now I'm double scared, because it was a scary game, and then now it's scary because the persons look real. I'm like, that is an Asian woman. And those noodles, those are fucking real noodles. I want to eat them. You're fucking my brain. And that was kind of the Tokyo Ghost Line Fighter, whatever the hell that game was called. It's going to be great, and it's coming out next year, or maybe never. Because if those are the graphics in-engine, it's going to take as long as Death Stranding. Which we did get that new trailer for, like, a few weeks ago.
Online capabilities.
It does. It's a Strand game. You know what? I just really quick sidebar before we move into Square Enix, because we are getting towards the end of the show here. Kevin, did you have anything you want to say?
Nope.
So I don't know if we mentioned on the show, but Kojima came out, Hideo Kojima, creator of games like Metal Gear Solid and Death Stranding. And he had that new trailer, and then he said, Death Stranding will be a new game called it's a new genre. Can we guess the genre, Tyler?
Shooter.
No, it's a new genre. Death Stranding will be a
slower shooter.
Kojima-like.
Okay, you're getting close.
I got it.
But not close. But one more guess from Kevin, one more guess from Tyler. Yes?
Connections.
Very close.
Strand-like.
Okay, and Tyler, for like the 9th time on this show, just pulls it out of nowhere. It's not Strand-like, but it's known as a Strand game.
Wait, really?
Yes. Kojima said that Death Stranding is a new genre of game called a Strand game. And everyone said, you're fucking silly. I think I even made fun of him and said, like, you can't invent new genres. And,
right.
And then he came out with another tweet later in his Kojima, you know, kind of way. He was like, I'm not saying that, like, I'm in I don't know exactly what he said, but he pointed out that there was no such thing as a stealth game before Metal Gear Solid. And they called it a, like, tactical spec op game. And it wasn't until the industry came together and said, this is called stealth. Off of Metal Gear. So, I don't know. Kojima makes a good point, is that he has genres before.
Kojima's just going out into the woods on vision quests and, like,
for real.
Dudes on, like, ayahuasca or something.
Death Stranding should be coming out in 2019, I believe.
When was the first Metal Gear?
Metal Gear on an NES was a long while ago.
87.
Yeah, yeah, but Metal Gear Solid was like 97? When did, 99?
When did Tom Clancy's invent Splinter Cell?
I don't know. It was, it's,
02.
It's, Square Enix time. I'm not a huge fan of Squeenix.
Dag.
What?
I said dag.
What is dag?
Dang without the N.
Correct.
Square Enix is, they came. They saw, they conquered. Square Enix, usually in E3s, they didn't come. You know, they did come, but it wasn't so good. It was just kind of like two business people talking about things for like a long time with one podium. It was almost like we went back to the PlayStation 2 days. Square Enix did a good job this year. They showed off a bunch of games, 90% of which were Final Fantasy or remasters of JRPGs. That's fine. Because, in my opinion, JRPGs get the shortest end of the stick when it comes to E3.
Yeah, they don't show up. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they're never there. Square Enix was like, fuck that. What if it was an hour and 20 minutes of JRPGs, and the only thing they said is that Final Fantasy VII would be there and Avengers would be there? I was in group chat, or in party chat, watching this with somebody who was only there for Marvel's Avengers, and every time it was like a really 5-minute long trailer of like anime boys and girls. It's all someone who doesn't really like anime. Mike? It was Mike and Dan, and not young Dan Owen, but somebody else. Every time it came up, he would just be like, is this Avengers? And it was like an hour and 20 minutes. But if you liked Final Fantasy, man, there was so much to glean from this. They got Final Fantasy VII Remake. They announced the first disc, because it's going to be like a 2-disc, 2-episode experience, will be coming out soon. I don't have the date for that. I really fucked up on the dates this E3. I'm sorry. My bad, guys.
Fun fact. Each disc of this new Final Fantasy VII Remake will be larger than the entire game, all 3 discs.
Yes, the first disc, which is releasing soon, I think it's like March 20th or something, is... Well, Kevin's making a confused face. If Final Fantasy VII was 3 CD-ROMs, right?
Right, yeah. 3 CDs. This is on a Blu-ray.
Every episode is going to be bigger than the original Final Fantasy game.
Okay, the original.
Yeah, yeah, no,
the way you worded that was extremely misleading.
So episode 1... Or
I'm all bad at words.
The first physical release, which is coming next year, is the Midgard portion of the game. I don't know Final Fantasy VII very well, but that's the first disc. And then the second disc, which is the second episode, which they'll release in 8 years or whatever, will be the rest of the game, which has the Cloud cross-dressing part, maybe? Or is that the Midgard?
The Golden Saucer? No, that is Midgard.
Okay, so...
What you said is Midgard.
So Midgard, Golden Saucer, all that stuff will be on this first disc, and it's going to be an action RPG. They showed a bunch of stuff.
And then it's going to end with that pivotal scene.
Yep.
Spoiler.
And then the beginning of the second disc is going to start with Cloud in a wheelchair.
Sad. Spoiler.
Boy, that's where I ended playing Final Fantasy VII.
That's where everybody stopped playing Final Fantasy VII, because that whole part of the game sucks.
And you can experience it... And who knows when, because it'll be a long time until episode 2 will come out. Tyler.
If you want to play that horrible, horrible really?
Yes.
You can play it at 3x speed on the Switch, because they're releasing it
nice
in its entirety.
Hey, they're also...
Ball, stick, ball, you know.
Stick, ball.
No, like his shoulder was a ball, and then his arm was a stick. Yeah.
It's not new graphics, is what he's saying.
They're also releasing a remake of Final Fantasy VIII, which I guess some people are excited about.
Yeah, you said that kind of quiet under your breath there. Final Fantasy VIII is coming. There's many people.
There's an afterthought.
Yeah, like me and the best Kevin are excited for it.
That's why I said it. There's a lot of other people who are excited for Final Fantasy VIII. There's Final Fantasy...
There are some people who are just excited to play cards.
Also me.
There is many Final Fantasy remakes happening, remasters. There is Dragon Quest, different special editions coming in. The Switch is getting one. There's a lot of stuff Final Fantasy. If you care about JRPGs, I'm not saying I don't care, but I'm not one who's going to get super excited for like Romancing Saga 3 remade. But if you are, you should probably definitely check out the Square Enix press conference. The final thing they had to show at their E3 2019 press conference, Square Enix that is, was, of course, the Marvel Avengers game. Boys, have you seen anything about this, or are you going in blind?
I really like that none of the characters look like their actor counterparts.
Yes, Tyler, when we talked about this on episode 124, or 125, I believe is what we're talking about it. You said you would prefer if this was not tied to the MCU, not tied to the comics, but his own brand new cast of people. And that is what it is. A lot of people were confused. They're like, why isn't Iron Man Tony Stark? Why isn't he the Robert Downey? And I'm like, you guys want to pay Robert Downey millions upon millions just to get his face in the video game? And then also pay like Hemsworth and everybody else? It's made by Crystal Dynamics. They made Tomb Raider remake, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, or Rise of the Tomb Raider. They didn't make Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
Doom Eternal. I get it now.
Oh, good job, buddy. It's going to be...
Hour 14.
It's going to be a great time, except it might not be, because there's going to be a single-player campaign, and there's also going to be cooperative missions. They were being a little bit cagey about letting people play it. They weren't showing gameplay. It's a possibility it could be a stinker, but I think with Crystal Dynamics and Marvel, it's going to at least be like playable and fun. I don't think it might not be as good as like Spider-Man on the PS4, but I think it might be decent. The funniest thing though, Hawkeye isn't even in the game.
How do you know that?
Because they, not only do they show, maybe he is in the game, but they showed the main Avengers, they detailed them, they even did this big stage presence where they showed each Avenger one by one, and Hawkeye is not in, he's not there. Hawkeye is not in this Avengers.
He's retired.
Once again, this is an original story, so who knows, like, you know, what happens, what characters die or survive, or... But,
Hawkeye's first mission, he's tied up and thrown on some train track.
No, like, for real, that could be it. Like, Red Dead R1 style, just some Wild Wild West, rip Hawkeye,
ooh,
sorry, but...
That's another one with a rap outro. Wild Wild West, you've come back around.
What's up, Will Smith? Dude. All right, let's move on to the final thing. Nice, cowboy.
I didn't think it was called out enough. I really liked that.
The final press conference, or we could say video presentation of E3 2019. There were others that were there. Limited Run, Devolver Digital, several others that were there. PC Gaming. But we didn't get to see them all. This one, I think everyone saw, because everyone was saying that this was the winner. Yeah. The Nintendo won. I was writing an article called No One Won E3, but then I stopped writing it because I was sick of writing E3. Nintendo did a good job. I think everybody won E3. That was the through line of that article, is that I think everyone won
the
E3.
Gamers won.
Yes. Gamers won. Nintendo, real quick, let's talk about what they announced. A lot of the stuff was kind of stuff we had known before, or it was, you know, new gameplay on existing stuff. Oh, man.
I hope that picked up. That was some ASMR right there.
Yeah, I hope you guys like that. A little tuck into bed as you go to sleep here. Pokemon Sword and Shield, they showed again the release date. And they're like, you can do so many things.
Dude, Sword Dog and Shield Dog.
It's going to be... There was that really big Pokemon Direct E3.
Who honestly uses the legendaries anyway? Who really cares?
No. I think I used my legendary bat in Ultra Moon for like four fights.
Usually
or whatever,
I get it,
you know?
And I'm like, this is either too strong or just... not strong enough. So I'm putting it in the box.
Pokemon Sword and Shield.
I got this unique legendary Pokemon. Now go in the computer forever.
Go into Bill's PC and don't you ever come out. Pokemon Sword and Shield will be releasing, as Kevin pointed out, 11/15, which is the same weekend as many other things.
Oh boy. That's good luck, everybody.
That's why everything else is a
Jedi
zero.
Fallen Order. I feel like Luigi's Mansion might come out a few weeks before that.
Gotcha.
Which, speaking of, I asked some people that I knew, some other media journalists who went to E3, what their game of the show was, and I heard that Cyberpunk 2077 was really good, but also Luigi's Mansion 3 was phenomenal, that it was excellent, that it was as we predicted. We made a joke, holy shit, we almost prophesized it once again when we were talking about Luigi's Mansion 3. Kevin made the joke that it was going to be Luigi's Mansion Duplex, and then we kind of all tangent off, I think, a Luigi's Mansion Castle. Yeah. We were one synonym away from Luigi's Mansion Hotel, which is what Luigi's Mansion 3 is.
A castle could also be a hotel, though.
True.
We approximately predicted.
Luigi's Mansion 3 is about Luigi and friends, including Mario and Peach and Toad. All of them go to a hotel, and then Mario, and they're all gone. And now Luigi has to, using some different powers, both old and new, find his way through this haunted hotel. And you can also play in co-op mode with Guigi, which was originally seen in the 3DS remake of Luigi's Mansion.
Boy, they could have workshopped that a little better.
Guigi?
Yeah.
Yeah, they probably could. He's also green, which maybe you want to make him like red. Rui? Nah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't
know.
Like, real easy. Make him blue and call him Blueigi.
Yeah. Or Booigi.
Fuck. You can't have that one, Nintendo.
Player 2 it's gonna already is be a in ghost you know shaped as Luigi.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Gooigi is.
Everything...
That's dumb. Call him Booigi.
Everything is looking great. No Our release idea. Date, though, which was weird.
Dude, Nintendo should just fucking hire me, man.
I think that Nintendo will be having another E3 probably right before the holidays like they normally do. They'll give more information about Animal Crossing, a release date for Luigi's Mansion, etc.
Shout out, though, real quick.
Cut
you off.
Fire's fired.
Shout out to Nintendo for the cool shit they're doing with the Animal Crossing team.
Yeah.
Let's
just jump right to Animal Crossing.
Sorry, yeah. We'll start it off on a good note.
No need to apologize.
We'll start it off on a good note. They basically were like, yeah, we could rush this and get it out. But at Nintendo, we like to make people smile. And in order to keep doing that, we need to make our company smile.
Good.
We need to make our employees smile. So we're giving them a kind of a relaxed release date for this so that they can, you know, just keep it going instead of having to crunch it out.
Animal Crossing New Horizons is what it's called, was originally thought to be releasing in 2019. That is what they said. And then now it has been pushed back to March 20th, 2020. That's a lot of twos and a lot of zeros. It'll be taking place
on three.
And a three. One could say there is going to be desert islands and debts to be paid, Tom Nook style, per usual.
Rip Resetti.
Mr. Resetti is dead now because you can't really reset your console and fuck up your... I mean, you could, but Resetti's gone. Sorry, the Switch will never hurt you.
The one thing I would like to put, and I think this is due to Mr. Resetti's absence... They've
retired.
Recently announced...
He died.
That your account, there will be no cloud saves for this game.
Oh, good.
No.
So then when your Switch just falls and breaks in your hands, then there goes 100 hours of Animal Crossing.
Exactly.
That's been an issue that I was even thinking of that the other day as I was playing.
They'll probably
through.
Fix it, but it's still kind of a weird choice.
It's Animal Crossing. Specifically with how much they did with the online sharing with like Wild World and Happy Home Designer, it'd be weird.
So it's saved to the cart, right?
Right.
Okay, so what's the problem?
Well, if you break the cart.
If you lose the cart.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
At least back in the day you had...
Maybe it saved your console.
Maybe back... Yeah.
That would be interesting.
It's got more space.
We'll find out more probably at the same E3 Direct, or at least March 20th, 2020.
And if you're not a fan of crafting, I feel sorry for you.
2020.
Before we get into the favorite thing here... about the Nintendo Direct. And there was many things. We were very briefly only going over a few things of the Nintendo Direct. I recommend you watch the whole thing. It was like 40 minutes long. It's not the long. If you watch one thing from E3 2019, make sure it's Microsoft's briefing and then watch Nintendo's briefing. Haha, see what I did there. Two new Smash champions. I just want to say... Go ahead, Tyler. Do you have anything?
I'll get to it after this.
Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about. But two new Smash champions. Once again, we prophesized. We said that Dragalia Lost would get announced. And that did not happen. But on the flip side, we did say that, because a listener brought up the possibility of it, that Banjo-Kazooie would come to Super Smash Bros. In the same discussion, I said, I really hope it's not the character that gets announced, is not the Dragon Quest character, because... I don't want JRPGs. Both things happened as we got two new Smash champions,
in a George R. R. Martin-esque twist.
Two. Dragon Quest, the hero is his name, I guess, right? Because it's an unnamed protagonist.
Correct.
It's
another Robin.
But you can, there's
but this one's the hero.
And you switch between people.
Between all eight of the heroes that have ever been for Dragon Quest.
It looks cool, but it's RPG boy. I'm kind of interested in playing the new Dragon Quest.
Dude,
it looks good.
I want to throw this out there. It is completely not going to propel this conversation much further at all.
Okay.
I saw on Instagram somebody's character design for a Jesse and James character.
Nice.
And holy shit, was it awesome. Like, B-Down would be a counter. James would pull out Wobbuffet, and it would, like, knock them back, and they did like all sorts of like acrobatic things where, you know, like their down A would be a kick that they would kick in opposite directions, but like be holding onto each other in such a way. It was
when
just so
well
designed.
Jesse is the Super Smash, like when Jesse puts the ball gag on James and whips him like the submissive sexual partner he is.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
You're
pretty
right.
Sure, it's the rocket balloon, but
oh my god,
that's fine too.
Oh my God. I think that actually would make sense, though, because with Pokemon releasing...
Dude, that'd be so
cool.
They
have the Pokemon trainer in Super Smash, but they don't have...
Like, sorry to derail.
Jesse, no, no, you're not derailing, because that would have been better than the Dragon Quest people. I can't speak to it, because I haven't played Dragon Quest, the new ones at least. That new Dragon Quest on Switch, which is coming this fall, does look cool, because it's going to have both, like, 8-bit graphics, or, like, 16-bit graphics, and then new graphics. Tyler was curious, because I posted a screenshot in the Super Gamecast 64 Facebook group that looked like the Infinity Stones. In Final Fantasy, going back to Dan, I have to give him credit for that. When we were watching, he said, oh, this is definitely the Avengers because they're the Infinity Stones, and it was obviously a Final Fantasy game or a Dragon Quest. Shouts out to Dan for making that Square Enix conference great. It looks interesting. But then after Dragon Quest, and after the entire E3 press conference, Nintendo E3 Direct, I should say, they announced Banjo-Kazoozle. Friend of the show, Josh.
After they tried to fake us out with some Duck Hunt shenanigans.
Dude, hell yeah. I was so psyched.
It was so like funny. Boy.
Friend of the show, Josh, has been saying that this should be a thing for, as Tyler put it, 12 years.
We had a friend of ours on the Facebook page, too, that also called this one.
Yes. So we got the best or worst of both worlds when it comes to Smash. I think so far the fighter pass has been good. We got Joker, and then we got RPG Boy, okay. But Banjo, so hey. You know, for the price of the DLC, not terrible.
Can we stop getting anime boys, though?
They're
can
not
we
gonna
please stop getting anime boys.
So here's the thing: we got two fighters left to announce, and they're both gonna have swords. You're just gonna have to.
No more swords.
What else are they gonna do?
The Pokemon legendary that has the sword.
Sword dog.
Sorry, boys.
Sword dog.
All right. Before we get ourselves any more sad, we're pulling up to the end of this show. I have Call of Duty, Modern Warfare here listed under miscellaneous games. Don't worry, Tyler. He's getting worried. We're going to get to it.
How about KK Slider?
KK Slider. What about
him? Put him in there.
Why?
We already have Isabella. I feel like that's like, if they're trying to go more Animal Crossing, they would, you know, like...
Give us Geno.
Give us Shantae.
My God.
How about Shantae?
I would go Shantae as well.
That's fine,
or
too.
Or the Dragalia Lost Girl. Or boy. Whatever.
No.
Or both.
Even no sword. Just no sword. Please.
It's going to be just a sword.
Elisand has a spear.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare is supposed to be good. This new one that's coming out. No, see, Tyler, bleh. Well, I mean, probably actually double
bleh. Wait a minute. No. That's what I wanted to tell you earlier was that Call of Duty has a... game that I'm pre-registered for.
Oh, nice!
On mobile.
Really?
Call of Duty Mobile.
Call of Duty... See, Tyler does play these silly fucking shooty games. He'll let you know if that Ubisoft one is good. He'll let you know how all these different ones are.
It's probably garbage.
If you never hear about it again, you can count on the fact that it's
speaking
sucked.
Of mobile games that suck but might be decent eventually, Elder Scrolls Blades was officially released at the Bethesda E3 conference, but it's coming on Switch in the fall. So if you're like me and don't have a phone that can support Elder Scrolls Blades, the new free-to-play Skyrim-based mobile game, you can play it on your Switch for free when it releases later this fall. Call of Duty is supposed to be, they're taking another stab at the single player. From everything I've seen, for behind closed doors gameplay and things that were shown at E3, people are saying that they are doing to the Call of Duty campaign what they should have done with Modern Warfare a long time ago, where is actually make a narrative and not make it about the time to kill, but the story itself. It seems like they're going for, I feel like I've already said this on the show, no rush in the game. If you guys don't know what that means, in Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, there was a level called No Russian, where you and a few other Russian, terrorists, let's call them what they were, you shoot down a bunch of innocent people with, like, a gun.
No Russian.
It's probably one of the, it's a massacre simulator, in so many words. And it seems like they're going for that kind of, like, gripping, arresting, like, gray between the lines kind of storytelling that we have seen from Modern Warfare in the past, but actually going at it from a honest perspective where the experience will not be, all right, let's run this house and shoot 400 people, but it's, you know, you're slow moving, maybe some stealth elements, the deaths are supposed to make a difference, you know, it's less about the explosions and more about the morality. We've heard this before, though, Call of Duty Dark and Gritty, it's gonna get all serious and fucked up. We'll see how good it is, but I've heard that people who've played it and seen it says it's actually quite good. Black Ops 4 was pretty good in gameplay, so we'll see. Now, the cream of the crop. The one that you've all been waiting for and you didn't even know you were waiting for it. It was coming. We didn't hear it. This wasn't a surprise, but the surprise was how soon it released. Cadence of Hyrule, Crypt of the Necro Dancer, featuring The Legend of Zelda, and that is the actual title.
All of that, yes.
Cadence of Hyrule, : Crypt of the Necro Dancer, featuring The Legend of Zelda. Tyler, do you wanna handle this? Do you want? It's a rogue. It's not even a roguelike. It's a rhythm game. I like to call it a mix between musical chairs and chess.
Musical chess.
That's accurate. I mean, that's a really good way to describe that, because each enemy piece has their own moveset.
They all move predetermined. You jump to the beat on a grid, and it plays like a retro Legend of Zelda game. And I know you're thinking, like, that sounds interesting, and I'm really struggling to put into words why not only is it so good beyond the Zelda. I mean, everyone loves Zelda.
Right.
We're not going to sit here and be like, oh, Zelda. But it's not amazing just because it's Zelda. There's something about, whether this is true for Crypt of the Necrodancer as well, because I didn't play that as much.
I'll tell you.
There's something about it that you're always constantly playing, keeping time. And so at no point do you feel like you want to stop or you should stop. And even once you're in the menus and once you start doing things in other games afterwards, if you played this game for a while, you're going to do everything to a beat.
Yep.
It's a game that, like some other puzzle games, like Guitar Hero very much, it kind of gets you in this groove, in this rhythm. And it's undeniably a fantastic, albeit brief, Zelda adventure. I'm going to stop gushing because Tyler was oh boy, excited about this. And then Kevin will get something to say too. But yeah, Tyler, can you think, how else can we describe the greatness that is Cadence of Hyrule and why people should buy it? $30.
It's $25
on the Switch.
It's a perfect Zelda spinoff.
Yes.
It is the best spinoff that ever has been.
Yes.
And it's a really, really, it's just a really well done rhythm game, if nothing else. There is a lot going on. You do have to know that your buttons do a whole bunch of stuff, but it's not important that you use them all. You can beat the game with just the sword.
Let me interject real quick. This was something, you played Crypt of the Necrodancer before, right, Tyler?
Yes.
So the gameplay to you is very, you know, picked it up. Yeah, okay, I've played this before. Me and Kevin, having not played Crypt of the Necrodancer ever before, or maybe I played just for like a minute or two, found this game almost impassable in the first 20 minutes. You die every 5 seconds. You're like, am I not getting this? Am I stupid?
No, it's hard.
And eventually, as you kill some enemies, you'll get diamonds. And then when you die, you can use those diamonds to buy things that might help you. And for me, all that was getting the spear, which is one of the, like, 5 different weapon types you can get.
5. So you got dagger, you got broadsword, you got spear, you got
rapier,
flail, and then you have the 5th one, which is a different weapon for everyone.
And you can also play as multiple characters, and all these things work differently, and so if you might be struggling, it might just take one different, so like the spear lets you attack from one space away, which means you get a little bit more time to kind of figure out your moves and be a little bit more passive. You don't have to get up into all these enemies' face and try and fight them. Once I figured that out, it kind of, like Kevin said, it unlocked for him. Kevin, you played it, and in group chat after the first night, you're like, boys, I just can't get this.
Yeah.
And I told you the next night, what you need to do is just play for like 20 minutes and find this one weapon and see if it doesn't unlock for you. And then you played what? You said like 3/4 of the game in one sitting after that?
Yes, I did.
It's not just the best Zelda spinoff of all time because it's a fantastic game that doesn't overstay its welcome, but it takes not only the classic elements of Zelda and the items and the characters, but new things like Breath of the Wild. Like there is an item that refers to the Ritos, and there is a bunch of different stuff. It kind of just takes every item, every theme, the music is fantastic, the visuals, and it mashes it up into a very easy to digest adventure. And this is the reason that I called out the Kotaku writer earlier is immediately I was like, oh, there's so many things to do and so many things to see. And the first shop I went to, I talked to them. They go, hey, I can read your fortune for 10 coins. Here's where you go next. And I go, oh, I know exactly where I need to go. And as you uncover the map, you find things, these charms that go, okay, here is the location of every shop you haven't visited yet. Or here's the location of every mini boss that you haven't visited yet. And at no point in this game did I feel like I didn't have somewhere to go, something I was trying to do, an item I was trying to collect, a map space that I was trying to finish completely. And it has been, simply put, one of the best games of the year, bar none. It's on my game of the year list already. We'll talk about it in best new game, looks like an old game, best music. If you had any reservations about it, or maybe you tried it and you can't get through it, Keep going at it, because holy shit, this is a good one.
If you're really not a fan of the rhythm game, turn the rhythm off.
Yes, that's a good point.
You can play it like a classic Zelda game.
The whole thing of it is that you have to move, well, to maintain your power, you have to move to the beat of the music in the background, which forces you to make decisions on the fly. But like Tyler said, if you don't like the rhythm section, you can just turn it off. And then it becomes like an actual game of chess where the enemies only move when you move and you have just as long as you need to figure out things on your own. Kevin, what else? Me and Tyler have been talking this whole entire time. What do you think as the person who was not as excited for it, but hopped on board and were interested nonetheless?
I think it's pretty good. I'm certainly not as wild about it as you guys are, even though I'm like probably...
Well, you're still a big Zelda fan,
too. I'm a huge, huge Zelda fan.
Specifically like Link to the Past and these older ones.
Right. I think it... There's something lost in translation in turning it into a Necrodancer clone.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that it doesn't have its own charm and that it's a bad game by any means. I'm certainly not suggesting that. But it doesn't feel like a Zelda game to me because of that. And that's okay. It doesn't have to be.
I will say that like Kevin put out and like Tyler put out, you can beat this game just using the sword.
Yeah.
You don't need... Like, I have the hookshot. I have the boomerang. I have the ice arrows. I haven't used them at all. Whereas in Zelda, classic traditional Zelda games, the idea is that you'll always have to use your items for these puzzles. And
right.
So the puzzles aren't... They're there. Usually cute musical puzzles, which are awesome, by the way.
The other thing is, it doesn't feel earned. A lot of the stuff you get doesn't feel earned.
You kind of just get items very
boxes
quickly.
Boxes are just everywhere.
Yes, right.
And that, again, that's fine. It's a different format. I'm not trying to say that detracts from the game or the experience in any way. But if you're looking for a Zelda game, this ain't it.
I think the reason I like it so much is exactly the reasons Kevin are saying. When you get a Zelda game, like someone like me, you're going into it knowing like there's a lot to take on here.
Yeah.
There's gonna be a lot of puzzles, a lot of items, things I have to remember.
You know, the first big chest in the dungeon's always gonna be the map.
Uh-huh.
The second one's always gonna be the compass.
And for someone like me who likes things in bite-sized, digestible kind of like, oh, play it for 10 minutes and you're done. This gives you the Zelda-esque experience and the visuals and the story and the music of a Zelda game without forcing you to commit yourself to, hey, you're going to take an hour and a half to finish this dungeon. It's more like, this might take you 30 minutes to finish this dungeon. Tyler, any closing thoughts on The Cadence of Hyrule, Crypt of the Necrodancer, featuring The Legend of Zelda, before we bring it up in a few months for Game of the Year stuff?
This is absolutely just a wonderful experience. if you like rhythm games, this game is for you.
Especially if you like puzzle, like chess stuff.
Yes.
I think that's it.
This is a different style of game.
It's a very different type of rhythm game.
And you can also make it as hard or as easy as you want on yourself by spending time collecting hearts or just going at it, like we've said, with just the dagger or just the sword. You can make it as easy, as hard as you want. I think this far surpassed my expectations for what a non-Nintendo Legend of Zelda game was, especially considering it was based on a game that I had played for a minute and not been drawn into immediately. So hats off to, what's their name? Bust Out Breakout Games? I can't remember. I think it's Breakout Games or Bust Out Games, for creating a great title. And I'm sure we'll talk about it more. Tyler will find the developer name because I want to make sure we give them credit. But with that said, that is the end of E3 2019, but it's not the end of the episode. We still have a few things here for you guys, as always. Tyler, did you figure that out? Developer?
Brace Yourself Games.
Brace Yourself Games.
Published by Spike Chunsoft.
Guys, you're doing God's work. You're doing the Lord's work over there. Keep pumping out. I would like to see Mario Crypt the Necro. I don't know if I would, but we'll see what else they have. I haven't beaten Cadence of Hyrule. You have, Tyler, right?
I have. Yeah.
Young Dan Owen has. Several people I know have beaten it. Kevin, you're like 3/4 of the way, and I'm on the last dungeon. So
I might play it again tonight.
It's really good. You can beat it in like an hour if you're doing the speed run. I think the highest speed run now is like 50 minutes, something like that.
Yeah.
People are really good at it. Yes. Stuff as always. Let's do the social links, because we got a lot of stuff now with Super Game Site 64. It might be a little confusing at first here, guys. Super Game Cast 64 has its own Facebook page and Facebook group. If you would like to talk to people who listen to the podcast, you just search that. Super Game Cast 64 in Facebook. But now with the launch of the website, there is a new page for the website. So search Super Game Site 64 on your Facebook, and you can find the page. It doesn't have a bunch of likes right now, so if you're listening to this right after the episode releases, you can probably find it. But if you want to see all the brand new articles, every single one that is releasing, and you want that delivered to you in the feed of your Facebook, go ahead and like that page, follow that page. We also do have a newsletter on supergamesite64.com where you can get a newsletter. I think it's bi-weekly at this point. And it will tell you all the new articles and all the new things that have been posted, including our podcast episodes, which once again, with Super Game Site 64, we now have a place that you can go and completely review all of the notes on the show itself. So if you want to, what did they talk about this? Did they talk about that? You can see complete show notes for each episode of the podcast and what we discussed, as well as links to purchase some of the things we've discussed. So if we're talking about an old game or an offshot movie or something, you know, there might be an Amazon Prime video link. You can download it and check it out. There's lots of ways to support us. Once again, supergamesite64.com. I'm just going to spell it for prosperity. Supergamesite64.com is SUPERGAMESITE64.com.
COM.
Thank you. And then there's always the same places you can find us on Twitter. If you want to reach out to me, I'm at SuperGameCast64Matt. No, I'm at SGC64Matt.
I'm at GingerBeerd_man. Gingerbeard man. Beer like a beverage.
And Tyler?
I'm at Teacher Mario. Sorry.
If you want to reach out to the show.
I had to extend it a little. Yeah. I had some feedback.
We're working on it. If you want to reach out to the show, it's at SuperGameCast64. If you want to reach out to us on the website side of things, it's at SuperGameSite64. Both of these Twitter accounts you can follow for, once again, all the new articles and the new giveaways and everything we're doing with the website and the podcast. Also, Instagram at SuperGameSite64. We have transferred the Instagram account over into the SuperGameSite account. If you followed it on there before, you've already known that, but we had to kind of keep that under wraps until we're ready to announce the website itself. But you can find pictures and links to our reviews and our articles.
It's all a circle, baby.
There's so many ways to interact with us. There's
so many ways that you can show us some love.
And what better time to do it than during E3 when it's nothing but new games? Valentine's Day. Show us your love. If you're listening to this now and you like the content we do, you have a little bit more content here coming up, go to supergamesite64.com/donate. Donate $5, $10, $15, $500 if you want. You can leave a note if you want to donate $20 and leave a, or $15 and leave a recommendation for a standalone podcast episode. We could do that. Who can? We'll figure it out. This is it's a community-driven thing, so we want to hear your guys' opinions. But with that said, we did ask for your opinions. Last episode, we asked you, what is the game, the modern game, that you've been playing the most?
What is really a game? That's the question we asked.
A miserable little pile of secrets.
Enough talk.
Have at thee.
What modern game, this console generation, have you put the most hours into? And we got a few answers. We didn't field it to Reddit this time because, sorry, I just want to hear our community this time. Kevin, the best Kevin, Kevin C., can you guess what it was?
You guys voted.
Stardew Valley.
It was Stardew Valley. Before that, though, he says it was easily Gears of War 3. He put many hundreds of hours into Horde mode. I can agree there.
For once, he didn't say Ken Griffey's baseball.
Wow.
Well, it was modern. We weren't... Nothing. We said from this console generation. Jesse said Rainbow Six Siege. Once again, hundreds of hours into Stardew Valley. And Dave! We love Dave. Dave's a great listener and a good creative. If you need anything done audio-wise, hit up Dave. He's a good guy. He said Crash Bandicoot never gets old, which is good. Old game, but he also recommended this new game called Sequence Storm, and that's what he's been spending a lot of hours on. It is a rhythm game that I believe Toy Lore played a little bit.
It's real tough.
Dave likes his really fast and tough anime, like very quick-paced rhythm games.
I'm more of a Cadence of Hyrule kind of rhythm guy.
More of that, so like your de facto rhythm game. I'm like Cadence of Hyrule.
Cadence of Hyrule is by far the most recent rhythm game Tyler's played.
For sure.
If you ever want to know what game Tyler likes better than any other game, look at the last game he played.
Sequence Storm is...
I'm just messing with you.
It's funny because it's true.
Sequence Storm, though, Tyler, you would say is a quality Is it quality product?
It seems to be, yes. It's just tough. It's a little too tough for me. I'm good, but I'm not that good.
Thank you for the recommendations. We always love to hear people's recommendations. Speaking of recommendations, we're not going to do anything this time. Just play Cadence of Hyrule and watch some Star Wars or something. But we do have a brand new bit, guys. Season 5, we're bringing brand new websites, brand new Instagrams, brand new jokes, brand new special guest appearances, and now even brand new bits. Could you ask for any more? Give us your money.
Dude, alright, so you guys know, I gotta lead in a little bit,
yeah,
right?
No, take your time, babe.
You know that the way trivia works, it's not often updated, okay?
Yes.
So, I felt like a lot of times, and I'm sure if you went through the backlog, I'm sure we have a super fan somewhere who's like, you repeated
Super Game Fan. Super Game Fan.
Sorry. Super Game
Everything
Fan.
Everything has to be branded now.
Super Game Fan 64.
Always be branding.
I'm sure they were like, hey, that sounded like a trivia fact you've already mentioned. It probably was true, because I wasn't keeping track.
Yeah, no.
So I decided, fuck it. Throwing it out the window. It's canceled. Super Game Fact is canceled.
If you have a problem with this, we want to hear your anger in our community.
Tell Matt. Don't tell me, because I am starting to put some effort into this, okay?
New Kevin Super Game Fact, Super Game Conspiracy, and now Super Game...
We'll call it Super Game Riddle.
Super Game Riddle. Season 5.
So, I'm going to write poems.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to allude to a popular video game character.
Okay.
Or franchise.
Okay.
Or something. And I want the community to try to guess what it is. Okay.
This might be something we'll have to put on the website as well.
I got a couple of these written. I'm going to do this one first. If it seems too easy, it's only because I've decided that it would only be appropriate for me to use this character as the very first super game
riddle.
Plus,
you guys got to figure out the way the game riddle works.
Right. So it's going to start easy.
It's Mega Man.
It's not Mega Man.
Mario.
Why didn't you do Mega Man first?
Okay, but here's the thing.
You gotta hear
the... Is this for us, or is this for...
Well, if you can tell me off air. I want it to remain a mystery for the listener.
So no answers from me and Tyler.
This is your reward for listening through all the business end of stuff, right? So you sit through all the funnies, then you gotta hear the business stuff, or you gotta talk business.
And then you get a little brain tease to tease your brain.
You get a little brain tease.
While you wait for us to tease you later. Huh? Huh? Go ahead.
I like to think that this is the audio equivalent of blowing into an NES cartridge.
All right. Let's fucking deliver it. Send it, boy.
All right. By fire or boot, he can stomp. A Koopa, a Boo, or a Thwomp. His bro opts for a Roomba, but he'd rather squish Goombas. This brother gets all of the pomp.
Okay. Don't say... Yeah. Can you... That was...
I didn't hear that one. That was amazing.
Can you do it one more time?
Kevin,
he's a writer boy. I'm a writer boy, too. The fucking game recognized game.
He was a writer boy. He said, see a lighter boy.
That was a good... Once again, see if you can figure out the character and or game that Kevin is referencing.
Yeah,
this
one's really easy.
Beautiful. If you don't get it, you're being lazy. You can answer this, once again, like we do in our listener question stuff. Just find Super Game Cast 64 on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, in the group, and just put your answer there. I'll have a space for it in the episode release thread. Kevin, one more time with that beautiful poem.
One more time.
Yes.
Right. And again, these aren't always going to be limericks. This is just what I was feeling like.
It's
right
so creative,
dude. By fire or boot, he can stomp. A Koopa, a Boo, or a Thwomp. His bro opts for a Roomba, but he'd rather squish Goombas. This brother gets all of the pomp.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Super Game Cast 64, episode 126, our E3 2019 special. If you've been listening this long for season 5, what level are they, guys? Level 4? Level 5? I think they were level 4 last time.
I think they're 5.
Level 5! I feel like if you're playing D&D, you might just like you get like a new skill or something.
This is like the biggest power jump in D&D. Level 5 is extra attack. Let's go!
For our homies, our Super Game fans who have been with us since season 4 or season 3, you guys are prestiged. KT, you know what you're saying over there. We got some... Tyler has a few family members. I have some family members and some friends who've been listening for a long time. You guys are probably like double prestige. You're so Call of Duty over there. Look at you move. If you guys want to move, if you guys want to move out with us, if you guys want to talk with us, you can find us at all the places we mentioned. But once again, please, please do us the favor of visiting https://. That's a secure connection. www.supergamesite64.com, where you can support us with your donations. You can hire us if you want us to write anything. You can check out our thoughts on the latest movies and TV, our reviews, our opinions, and some news, including E3 stuff. Wonderful show, boys.
Thank you.
That was a lot.
So you've leveled up. Imagine a world completely underwater. Stick it to your mom. All the game's all here.
Dude, you did it.
Yes! I love you. Bye!